the update on the items that are the district staff is working on as it relates to our bond project. So we're just going to provide a brief bit of information to make sure that the board has the information that they need.
Good evening, Board President Chan, Vice President Friedman, and Board. Thank you for allowing me to make tonight's presentation. This is one of my favorite presentations that I make, because this provides an opportunity to share with the public the commitment that the board and Dr. Mitchell have to provide state-of-the-art facilities for our students. In this presentation, I will highlight three topics: a few projects in the 2012 Measure On, Measure R bond, energy infrastructure modernization, and some future projects. Most of all the items covered today could have not happened or will not happen without the support of the board, Dr. Mitchell, and the work of Marcos Rodriguez. I want to take this time to thank Marcos publicly for all the work he has done over the years to have a successful facilities program. We see the final product, but the countless hours and energy is done behind the scenes to have a successful build. Thank you, Marcos. Unfortunately, Marcos is under the weather tonight and is joining us remotely. Measure R 2012 bond program. In 2012, the community approved Measure R 2012 bond. This provided the district with $158 million to improve the facilities for our students and staff. Our bond program has an oversight committee to reassure the community that the bond funds are being used as taxpayers voted. Members volunteer for this non-paid committee, serving two-year terms. On behalf of Dr. Mitchell and the district, I would like to thank these members for their dedication to the community, students, and staff of the Rural Unified School District. One major project of the 2012 bond was recently completed at Roland High School. The Roland High School addition project is a closed and certified project with the Division of the State Architecture. This was a four-phase project where five new buildings were constructed, providing 114,000 square feet of building space. A 22 classroom building was built. This is the inside of the state-of-the-art district's Performing Arts Center. To the left is a picture of the new administration and library building, and to the right, the multipurpose room, AKA for the students at Roland High School, the hideout. Left picture highlights the entrance to the administration building, and right shows the lounge of the new library. When you complete a major modernization on a portion of the campus, it is important to blend in the existing campus. We blend the campus by installing new shade structures in the quad, painting trim and lockers, and the final piece to be completed for the blended project is the installation of new classroom doors throughout the whole campus. This shows the before picture of the quad without shade structures and the old blue trim in exterior buildings. The next two slides show the new shade structures in the quad. All lockers have been freshened up with a new coat of dark blue paint. Before, we had different shades throughout the campus. This highlights the new tan trim found throughout the campus. I want to thank are two district painters and several bus drivers that completed this painting project during the pandemic school closure. At this time, I would like to share about another project, another 2012 project we're currently working on, Oswald Academy New Campus Project. This $50 million project is five phases that will replace all buildings with the exception of the secondary building that was completed in 2013. 80,000 square feet of new building will be created, 33 new classrooms, a band and choir room, a multi-purpose room, library, locker rooms, kitchen, and new playfields. The timeline for this project is based on each phase completed at the conclusion of the academic year. The fourth phase will be completed by December 2023, but classrooms will be built before the 22-23 school year begins. The administration and building, multi-purpose building will be completed in December of 2023. Phase one is a part of a project in all modernizations that people never see, the infrastructure and underground utilities. Phase two included demo, site prep, and construction of the West Classroom building. 12 portables were demolished and the site pad was built. Foundation and slabs were the next portion in phase two. Once foundation was poured and cured, steel structures were erected. Interior rooms were framed and drywalled. The building is completely weather wrapped and stucco work will begin tomorrow. After the completion of the West Building, the same process will begin with the third phase, the East Building. I would like to share, at this time, we are slightly delayed on the timeframe of the first phase. Due to the pandemic, our contractor has experienced some key product and material delays. Also, our projects use prevailing wage trade employees that our local trade hall supply. Recently, we've also experienced a shortage of trade people available to work. Again, although we're slightly delayed, I'm cautiously optimistic that we can regain this 1 to 2 weeks in the upcoming months with this project, and I'm aggressively working with the contractor. Nogales High School Revival Project was completed in 2016. This four-building project centered on two-story classrooms and administration buildings, multi-purpose room, and a new kitchen. Also, the parking lot was reconfigured and constructed. Originally, Nogales had three remaining phases to be completed. The second phase would replace the band and choir room. The third phase would replace the classroom buildings. And with the fourth phase, replacing the pool and locker rooms. As shared in a previous facility study session, we recommend combining all three remaining projects into one. We found that we were landlocked near the band and choir room building, and the proposed plans would not meet the needs of our students. By incorporating the pool and locker room and band and choir building, the entire area can be used to build functional buildings that fully meet the needs of our students and staff. Also, the 12 replacement classroom building will be reviewed to determine the need for this building. Based on our facilities master plan, we currently have an excess of classrooms in the Gulf High School. This area can be used for other purposes to meet students and staff interest. By combining these projects, we will reduce soft costs with one submission to DSA and special testings and inspectors. Also, the project will be completed sooner, avoiding construction cost escalation. And finally, and most important, our students and staff will be able to utilize a completed campus sooner. Our next steps. Tonight, we have on the agenda an item to request for qualification proposal for architect services. We plan to bring a recommendation in August and September. Once the architect has been approved by the board, we will work with students, staff, and community to develop design concepts. These design concepts will be shared with the board before actual building plans are developed. Final plans will be shared with the board before submittal to DSA. Throughout the entire process of design and plan, all stakeholders will be included and communicated. At this time, I would like to share a non-Measure R bond project, the Energy Infrastructure Modernization. The goal of this program is to improve the learning environment, replace aging infrastructure, and reduce energy and maintenance costs. This work began in 2017 with a competitive RFP process to secure an outside partner to secure $3.6 million in Prop 39 funding. As required by the grant, utility analysis and detailed site assessment were completed. Based on this information, an energy master plan was created. Grant funds were secured and work began based on the funds available per phase. Four phases have been approved, and tonight, a fifth phase is being recommended to the board in an agenda item. This spreadsheet details the energy master plan that guides our work. Phase one focused on replacing new and improved LED lighting and central HVAC modernizations. Phase two and three continue the LED lighting and HVAC replacements, highlighted with the gym and NPR air conditioning installed throughout the campus, throughout the district. Phase four focuses on improving air quality with new HVAC units capable of utilizing MERV 13 filters. Phase five will complete our HVAC replacement of the remaining 186 units and provide HEPA filters that are rated at MERV 17 in all classrooms throughout the district. In addition to the improved learning environment, this program has saved the district $1.8 million to date. At this time, I would like to highlight a few other major projects that we have in store. I would like to first share about high school turf and track replacement. In 2007, both Nogales and Roland High School turf and track was replaced. Typically, these products last a maximum of 10 years. We have been able to utilize these facilities for 14. In order to maximize the life, 5 years ago, we developed a reconditioning and service program to extend the life as much as possible. At this time, we are recommending replacing the turf and track at both of our campuses, high school campuses. Although this project is listed as one of our 2012 Measure R bond projects, we intend to use district funds. This will allow us to use the set aside $3 million of bond funds on other building needs for our students and community. These are original photos of the underground drainage system for the synthetic turf at Nogales High School. I share these pictures because this underground drainage system will not be replaced as it has a 50 to 70 year service life, significantly reducing the replacement costs, which is estimated to $800,000 to $1 million per campus. Tonight, a board item to use the California Multiple Award Schedule is on the agenda for approval. This allows public agencies like us to use a group of pre-qualified suppliers that the state has created to solicit competitive offers. If approved, we will review plans with site and confirm possible construction period and non-use of the stadium. We hope to bring a recommendation to the May 27th board meeting to allow construction to begin the day after graduation or near after. I apologize for the compressed timeframe, but during the pandemic, athletic competitions were delayed, and fortunately, a compressed seasons were made available for our students, where we saw 800 to 1,000 student athletes participate in athletics during this time. These seasons will go into late May and provide an opportunity to do work this summer, not impacting our students as they take a much needed break from the late season. The district, from the direction of the board and Dr. Mitchell, have explored the use of solar shade structures at our site, at our sites. Cost analysis and array structures until recent did not pencil out for long-term investments. With recent rate changes and the opportunity to use federal funds for outdoor learning eating areas, the district plans to aggressively review these opportunities to provide additional learning eating areas for our students and staff and provide an ongoing energy savings for the general fund. This illustrates an outdoor learning, solar learning eating shade structure. As you can see, the structure has multiple posts. Previously, examples shared with the board had one post, which are no longer accepted and approved by DSA. I'd like to share some additional projects. At Rowland High School, at Rowland Elementary, we demolished two unusable kinder classrooms that will be replaced in the future closer to the existing kinder classrooms. Our plan is to create a new playground and increase the parking lot. We are in discussions with California Edison to remove power poles in the parking lot. We will move forward once we have confirmation from the county and Edison that the poles can be removed. We are aggressively working with the Edison to pay for the removal of the costs or a significant portion of the costs. At Hollingworth, we are currently working with the special ed department to meet the needs of our preschool program. We are exploring building a bathroom building that can be used for our preschool students. The bathroom would be designed to meet the specific needs with the program at Hollingworth. We would like to fast track this project and bring an architect contract for approval in the very near future. By fast tracking this project, we could possibly have a new building by January 2022. We are working with a few schools to increase electronic marquees and install them this summer. And under the direction of the board and Dr. Mitchell, and supported by Ed Services and Human Resources, with the fine and work of our staff and our students, Rowland Unified School District has been recognized with several awards. We are currently working on placing the signs associated at each site that's received an award, like the California Union School that Dr. Mitchell just mentioned, California Biliteracy, and Schools to Watch as examples. Again, I want to thank the board, Dr. Mitchell, for the continued support of having the best facilities possible for our students, staff, and community. Also, thank you to the community for supporting Measure R bond. Without the three bonds that the community passed, the excellent state of our current facilities would not be the same. Thank you. Are there any questions?
I'm so happy to see Hollingsworth Elementary, the special preschool bathroom building. I think was Mrs. Flores, a community member.
Yes.
I spoke a couple of months ago, and the need is definitely there. We just got to make sure that those bathrooms contain a large enough table to change an adult that needs a diaper change, but also the privacy within the bathroom to do that.
We're looking at creating a bathroom with three sections, one with the age-appropriate toilets for our preschool students, a second section with a changing table that would allow for what you're just referring to, and a third for staff members as well. So we're looking to really meet the needs Dr. Sri Walker met with staff there as well and has spoken to staff members about the need for additional bathrooms there.
Right. And I didn't see, I might have missed it, Miguel's swimming pool. Is there any plan to revitalize that?
Yes, it is. That would be also completed with everything, the pool and the locker rooms, classroom replacements, and the band part. Yes.
And the bleachers or whatever?
There'd be a pool compound that would contain some bleachers so that spectators could view the aquatic program.
That's a big need to have a screen.
It's also a big need for our community as well, as we provide a summer program or a recreation program as well for students to get cooled off in the hot summers.
Thank you. Beautiful presentation.
Thank you.
Eric? Thank you. So first off, I want to say, Mr. Flores, I appreciate you. Your projects are always on task and move forward. You do a great job managing. That's it is really incredible. And the upgrade to the school is fabulous. It makes our students proud, our community proud. And it's the stuff that's visible to everyone. I appreciate that. Can we go to the slide, the savings performance slide? You highlighted it and you just kind of glossed over it, but I really want to point this out. Because of your hard work and things that you've done to move forward, you have a total savings of $1.8 million in electricity costs that we avoided, basically. We would have paid this money out if we hadn't done these upgrades. I mean, that's something that we put that in our pocket that we didn't have to spend it. So that's a huge win. Right? That's great moving forward. If we look at the months of August and September, then our highest rates for using electricity, most likely because of air conditioning.
Yes.
So as we go into phase 4 and 5, I would ask that we look at high efficiency air conditioning like you are. And even if we have to spend more upfront, this is where we get our savings. This is hidden costs that we don't see.
Yes.
But we see the money as a community doesn't see, but it's savings that we get in our pocket. So, and then the other thing about here, April is the lowest month. That's our baseline. Excuse me. Your additional work to improve lighting and everything else will bring that dollar down. So hopefully you'll have continued savings moving forward. So you glossed over this page. The other ones are pretty. We can see it. This is good stuff here. I do want to share that. One other comment here, the outdoor learning structure, and this is just from the experience, and this is old data that I have. There was a humming noise or a white noise that would go along with some of the old solar panels. And so
yes.
I would just be careful with that. If we can just look in to see if that. It may not, I mean, so many kids are, you may not hear that white noise or concern, but at some point it sounds good on paper, we put it in, we save a bunch of money, and we get up there, and it's like, I'm not sitting here. So just something from my background and all, I just wanted to share. Just to keep that in mind, it may not be an issue any longer, it was a few years ago. So.
Well, thank you for what you shared. I just wanted to share that I'm presenting, but it is the team of all the employees here and cabinet that work together to make these improvements for our students and for our staff and for our community. I did highlight in the in a slide that previously we shared single post shade structures. There have been advancements with shade structures, and there's actually been some issues with some shade structures in Northern California where there was snow, where there's been some collapses of them. That's the reason why they're no longer accepted to have multiple posts. And the sound issue as well, there's been advancements also with the panels as well to avoid it. But that's something we definitely would review it to make sure that we have something that's first and most of course safe for our students and for our staff and will provide the cost savings for the district.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Are we able to store the energy?
There is an option to be able to use batteries to store them. That's something that my analysis working with different consultants would be something that I would definitely would want to consider to be able to sell it back at the peak hours to the public agencies. But there is an opportunity for us to do this by purchasing batteries.
David? I was just reading today that construction costs have gone up for lumber alone.
Yes.
250%.
Yes.
When they bid on these projects, and they're over multiple years, are they allowed to put change orders in because of the increased cost of materials, or did they have to stick with their original bid?
These are public contracts, and yes, they are able to submit an invoice for increased costs. So what we do is to make sure that we avoid those. For example, HVACs systems were in high demand during the pandemic. So there was a price increase, and we expect and analyze that there'll be greater increases in HVAC as well. So we went ahead and purchased all the HVACs for the entire product up front now, so that we can go and have them, one, and number two, be able to pay and reduce costs or the actual cost that is anticipated. So there are different things that we're doing. Steel, for example, also. All the steel for the next two buildings have already been purchased and we're storing it as well. It was not for the savings, but actually for the time. We wanted to make sure we had it so that we can go straight into the second phase immediately, have no delays. But in reality, the planning that we did is going to help us in cost as well. If there would be any type of submittal for additional compensation, it would be aggressively reviewed and discussed to not make that payment.
Alex, thank you very much for a great report. You and your team, outstanding. We have so many wonderful projects from the past, present, and future. Wonderful. It's so nice to look at. I'm really happy that we're going to do the Hollingworth Elementary new preschool bathroom building because that's very necessary. And that's really good. And I'm very excited about solar, so thank you. I know 2 years ago we brought it to the board, and so I'm glad that we're going to continue that. Thank you. That's why Roland, you know, find it so wonderful. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you so much for your job well done. The presentation is wonderful. Also, I'd just like to make a comment regarding the Novellis High School. This is really needed, and I think the community is waiting for this to happen. So I'm just elated that this is happening.
We are looking forward to have plans created next year. And we're completing the construction at Oswald to be able to immediately begin construction at Nogales when we complete construction in Oswald, as we've done in the past, so that we don't overextend ourselves and we make sure that we provide a good product.
So the starting of these, the Nogales High School and the Oswald, you said after graduation, or is that?
For the turf program, for the turf replacement, we would like to start it as soon as the day after graduation, so that we can go ahead and complete it during graduation. We can meet the first football game and band performance, because it's not just football. There's band being performed, and there's cheerleaders at the sidelines, and it's an entire school event.
Yeah, the community is really waiting for these, especially the band, the choir, and the
school. That will be designed all next year, with submittals at the end of next year, with hopefully construction beginning the following year, the 22-23 school year.
Well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just have a question on phase five, the purifying, the portable air purifier.
Yes.
MERP 17, and then the non-portable one, what is thought of it really was MERP 13. What given 13 and 17, which one can filter the, which one's better?
The higher the number, the higher the grade that purifies more of the air. So the actual air scrubbers, the HEPA filters that we have that are MERP 17 are higher grade and provide a more air quality. Originally, we were replacing an air scrubber in each classroom that had a MERV 11, because guidance shared that a MERV 13 was sufficient. But working with the association and different meetings that we've had in discussing, we felt it was best to put the MERV 17 in all of our classrooms so that there's equity in all the classrooms and also other workspaces too. I don't want you to think that this is just in classrooms, it's also in other workspaces as well, because we have other staff members that are working in other workspaces as well.
So what is the advantage of the portable one? We can move it anywhere, so why?
In some of our buildings, mm-hmm. we had MERV 11 filtered HVAC systems. And the guidance calls for a MERV 13 minimum. So for those classrooms, we secured an air scrubber HEPA filter that would provide the MERV rating that was a 13 or greater. We just decided after school reopening, and just this Monday, we placed air scrubbers in all classrooms throughout the entire district.
So the portable filtering the inside air, right?
Yes.
And then and the other ones is filtering the outside air going into the building, the classroom. So would that make a difference? The MERV 17 one, the portable one, only circulating and filtering the inside air. Right. So
it's absolutely correct. The HEPA filter is focusing on the inside air of the classroom, while the HVAC system is bringing in natural air, going through the filtering system, and being either heated up or cooled off, and providing it to the classroom. Although air take is taken out as well, and is cycled in as well. So there is there's only a certain percentage of natural air that is put in. And the upgrades that we have done with the CO2 readers allows us to be able to see and to maximize that as well.
I just would like to thank the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee for being with us and doing this for us. It's a big job. I saw the term for Randy Zong and Denise
yes.
Jackman. Thank you so much. Is the term finished by this month and next month? So is there a replacement?
Yes, we have advertised aggressively in different website, Twitter, for people interested in being bond oversight committee. We look forward to bringing to you the next board meeting and recommendation for the placement that we have. We have one of our members that is termed out as well. The term is for 2 years, but they can serve 3 terms. So this one member has one of those has termed out. The other member is considering doing a second term. And so that's at this time, we plan to bring one new member to the board for consideration.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Thank you for your presentation. Any comments?
Yes, there are.
Oh, yeah, please note the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended for a limit by vote of the board, a maximum of 20 minutes. And that's then the final word is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulation under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give a direction to staff following the comments.
Yes, hello. Good evening, board. We have one person tonight. It is Ms. Amy Erbian.
Good evening, President Chen, School Board, Dr. Michelle, and Cabinet. Yesterday, we celebrated California Day of the Teachers and School Nurses Day. I want to thank all our educators and nurses for giving their all as they have every day, especially this school year. I've heard stories across our district on the enrichment activities and academic help our students are receiving during the in-person support afternoons. Kindergartners have been able to do projects that sometimes they couldn't do during virtual learning. Culinary arts students have been able to cook and bake with their time, and through it, all our members were happy to see their students in person. As we begin to slowly welcome back our students, there's been much discussion during the school year on the social emotional health of our students and have taken place at these board meetings. The purpose of bringing students back to school was to provide academic support, but also for students to interact and improve their social emotional health. This pandemic has created trauma that will have long-term effects on our students, staff, and families. Tonight on the board agenda is a contract for Outreach Concern, which is a company that will be providing counseling services to our K-6 students for this upcoming school year. Interns will be assigned to our elementary sites. Is this really the best way to address the needs of our students for the years to come? Even before the pandemic, there's been a need to have elementary school counselors. And with this pandemic, the need is even greater. The right thing to do is invest in elementary counselors who will be part of the school community and enroll in employees. Counselors will be able to create relationships with students as long as they are part of the school staff. Students and families will be able to trust the counselor, and it's always better to recognize a familiar face over time and not different interns from year to year who don't have a commitment to our community. This school board has advocated they want to provide the resources to address the social, emotional, and mental health of our students, then invest in hiring permanent Roland Unified elementary counselors. Thank you.
More speakers?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next item? Yes, we'll call a public hearing on Northern Unified School District Special Education Local Plan Area, SELPA Local Plan, including the annual budget plan and the service plan for the 2021-2022 school year. Members of the public wishing to provide comments on the SELPA local plan may do so by raising your virtual hand. The public hearing is open at 7:24.
This time, if there's any members of the public who are observing our meeting would like to speak on the public hearing for our single district SELPA plan, please raise your virtual hand. Seeing
that,
Mr. Chen.
Okay, so the public hearing is closed at 7:25 p.m. The next 7A, special education local plan area SELPA, local plan including the annual budget and the service plan, cabinet motion and a second to approve the 2021-2022 SELPA local plan, including the annual budget and the service plan. In the motion, and then
I second.
Any discussion? Read the roll call vote. Donna Freeman?
Aye.
Agnes Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Melton?
Aye.
Eric Rodriguez?
Aye.
And Terry Chen? Aye. Motion carries. The next item, 7B, Personnel Commission Budget, fiscal year 2021 and 2022. A motion and the second to receive and concurrent with the proposed 2021-2022 Personnel Commission Budget.
I'll motion.
This will be in the next motion.
I'll second.
And just a second. Any questions? Yeah, David?
I have a couple of questions. First one is for the salaries, I noticed the director is going down. Is that correct?
And it's reflected on the budget. There was, in the previous budget, I believe there was a one-time compensation, and that is the difference. So the individual salary is not being decreased, but within the budget was after a settlement, not a settlement, but a negotiation piece, which provided for a one-time increase.
Okay. The other thing under equipment, there's nothing blank. Is that going to be blank?
I believe that was intentional. I know that Alex and his staff have reviewed it. I know Dennis and his staff have reviewed it as well.
So in terms of the Personnel Commission, the Human Resources Office, we've been outfitted with some new equipment. And based on Joan's recommendation, that is recommendation from the personnel director.
The only reason I'm bringing that up is that when I was on the commission, things would be purchased after, requests would come in to purchase equipment after they failed, rather than planning ahead to cycle out as they age.
I believe in the previous budget is when we did it with equipment replaced.
And if I can share, there's also flexibility several times throughout the year. The Personnel Commission can also transfer funds within funds to if their purchase needs to be made. In previous years, they have not always utilized the legal allocation that they have, and sometimes they've transferred some of those funds for some purchases that they need.
And last year, there was additional funds provided to the Personnel Commission of about $5,000, and new computers were purchased for the employees.
Last question is, we had spoken in the past many times about doing classification studies. Is that basically not on the agenda anymore?
That does continue. That is a continued interest. And I have had conversations with the Personnel Commission Director as well as the Chair of the Personnel Commission. It's not the timing that we are in right now. Our work does not look the same. It would not be an appropriate time to do a job study, classification study, compensation review. But we have, I know Dennis has also been working with setting out that timeline as to when that might become possible.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Any more questions? We're ready for roll call votes. Tom Freeman?
Aye.
Agnes Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Malkin?
Aye.
Eric Venegas?
Aye.
Kerry Chen? Aye. Motion carried. The next item, 7C, contract agreement between the Northern Unified School District and California Department of Public Health Valencia Branch Laboratory for COVID-19 testing. I have a motion and a second to approve the contract agreement between the Northern Unified School District and California Department of Health, Public Health, Valencia Branch Laboratory for COVID-19 testing. Donna Wu.
I'll second.
Vanegas, second. Any questions?
Let's have one question. It says not to exceed $189,000 from general funds. Would care funds wouldn't be used for this?
They would, but it allows the general funds that is absorbed. Do you want to address the budgeting piece?
Yes, we could use care funds for that, and general funds are care funds as well.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions? Roll call vote. Tom Freeman?
Aye.
Agnes Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Malkin?
Aye.
Eric Venegas?
Aye.
Kerry Chen? Aye. Motion carried. The next item, 7D, contract agreement between the Northern Unified School District and the Child Care Career LLC, EBA, Education Team. Is a motion and a second to approve the contract agreement.
I'll move.
I'll second.
If it's second, any questions? Yes, Donna?
Would it be possible to have the staff explain this more?
Yes. Certainly. Would you like to
start? Sure. So for the board, we know that we are going to be facing a substitute shortage. Throughout California, school districts are facing substitute shortages. So we've been looking at resources that may be able to assist us in meeting these needs.
especially pertaining to day-to-day substitutes. And there's been a few agencies that have come onto our radar that have been able to be successful in helping schools meet those day-to-day substitute needs. So this is basically, for better analogy, would be a temp agency. You know, we're all familiar with the old-fashioned temp agency when you needed somebody clerical for a day or two or a week, or the accounting agencies that we've heard advertised, those kinds of things. This is that for substitutes. In the event that our substitute pool is not sufficient to meet our needs, that's really basically what we're looking for. It's just to augment our current pool. We have been recruiting, we recruit constantly, but the number of applications we've seen come in for substitutes this year has been much less than what we've had in the past. We're not the only district facing this. Everyone around us is facing the same. In fact, Dr. Kevin Despard, our director of HR, he's got a placeholder on his weekly agenda. He interviews every applicant that applies, every single one. And through that process, those who meet our qualifications, about 50% of them continue on to be processed. 50% don't. And when we reach out to those who don't, generally speaking, what we find out is that they've either obtained a long-term position somewhere else, and we're looking just to augment those other positions, but we know that we're going to have a shortage. So this is a proactive measure on our part to make sure that we have this going forward.
Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Okay, so the roll call vote. Don Freeman?
Aye.
Andres Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Malcolm?
Aye.
Kevin Venegas?
Aye.
Kevin Chen, aye. Motion carries. The next item, 7E, contract between Golden Unified School District and the Climatech LLC. I have a motion and a second to approve the contract.
I'll move.
Donna move.
I'll second.
And that's the second. Any questions? Question?
Roll call vote. Don
Freeman?
Aye.
And that's Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Malcolm?
Aye.
Harry Venegas?
Aye.
Christian, aye. Motion carries. The next item is 7F, Memorandum of Understanding between the Rural Unified School District and the Association of Rural Educators related to health and the safety and the in-person support of students. The motion and the second read by the Memorandum of Understanding between Rural Unified School District and the ARE.
I move.
And this,
I'll second.
Mr. Venegas, second. Any discussion? The roll call vote. Donna Freeman?
Aye.
Ernest Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Melton?
Aye.
Eric Venegas?
Aye.
Kerrigan, aye. Motion carries. 7G, Memorandum of Understanding between the Rural Unified School District and the Association of Rural Educators related to in-person support for students. The motion and a second to read by the Memorandum of Understanding between RUSD and the ARE.
I'll move.
Donna move.
I'll second.
David second. Any questions? Roll call vote. Don Freeman?
Aye.
Andres Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Malcolm?
Aye.
Eric Venegas?
Aye.
Harrington, aye. Motion carries. The next item, 7H, review and discussion of the 2021-2022 board meeting schedule and date. In the motion and the second to review and discuss the 2021-2022 board meeting dates that were approved by the board of May. April 8th, 2021.
I'll move.
Donna move.
I'll second.
And
that's
second.
So
okay, Donna.
The reason that I wanted to bring back the calendar was Agnes had a great idea. And she was thinking about having the study session on the same day as our board meeting. And I was thinking maybe we could do it earlier. That's only if the board members would come in at 2:30. Instead of having a meeting twice a month, it would be once. And we're only talking about four dates. and it would be once a month, only board members could come at 2:30. Maybe the study session could be 2:30 to 4:30. Then we'd start our regular board meeting at 4:30, like we usually do, closed session, then 6 o'clock, our regular board meeting. The reason for this, not only just once a month, but staff doesn't have to stay so long on that day. They already work very hard. Easier for everyone once a month. And I think maybe more people are aware of our board meetings than our study sessions, so the community might listen to the study sessions on board meeting days rather than if they are now on a separate study session day. And those dates are November 4th, February 24th, March 24th, and April 28th. So I'd just like to hear what the board feels about that.
Like I said, I work full time, and so I already struggle to come here at 4:30, and sometimes I start having conflicts. So moving it up early in the day would be difficult.
Okay.
And even today, I struggle a little bit to get here on time. So it might cause a concern.
No problem. So it's easier for 4:30 for twice.
It is.
Okay.
And I understand what you're saying. I'd like to do less if you can
all
day, but it becomes. Moving it earlier today is.
I totally understand. That was my number one thing. And the other thing I wanted to ask is we also have three study sessions scheduled for 8:30 to 2:30. One is on Thursday, two of them are on Friday. And I was wondering if those are January 14th and May 20th, if we could switch them to a Thursday instead of a Friday.
I just want to make a statement about the previous comment that Eric has made. You know, our board meetings are really our meeting of the board and with the public. And I know that sometimes we don't have a whole lot of people watching us, like I think there's 11 up there today. But it kind of closes the door for those that work to monitor or to attend our study sessions, which are open to the public. Most of those people that do work wouldn't be able to attend or watch them, depending on if still doing them virtually or not. So we're kind of closing the door for public participation by having it at 2:30. So I prefer to keep it at 4:30 and have the study sessions at the time. Plus, I'm too old to sit here for 7 hours.
And so what do you guys think about that? Switching maybe to Thursday instead of Fridays. I know David had a comment about that before.
That was a long time ago, yeah. Lynn Hebbenkamp, when she was on the board, she and I were members of the senior Pathfinders, and we meet on Friday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not that hard for me not to get away from that meeting. I'd say whatever best for the staff presenting, whether Friday morning or Friday or Thursday, is better for them. Defer to the staff presenting.
I can add to that. Either day is fine with me. I have to take a day off work to attend. But
right.
Either day, it does not matter to me. So
it just frees up the weekend for, I think, staff. What do you think,
guys?
People feel?
I'm okay with
people. What do you think?
Well, whatever suits the majority of the board. As this avenue, I was just questioning the conversation. I need to know whether some other school district has done the same. And Dr. Mitchell, I had a conversation with her, and she had explained to me that it is done by other school districts. And at that point in time, I was pleased with the answer. So whatever suits the majority is fine with me. I just thought I'd bring it up to see what other board members think about it. And thank you for bringing
it up. So like David said, Dr. Mitchell, what is for the staff doesn't matter Thursday or Friday?
I don't believe it. I can look at the dates. I don't believe we're here Monday through Friday. I think it starts until Saturday anyway. So when it's to start, unless we all get Friday off, if we have it on Thursday, is that way it's going to work? Just checking.
Okay with me.
That one goes. So for us, I already have secured facilitation for are specific dates on those, so I would need to make sure that there weren't any conflicts. So after the board, those are board workshop dates, and so I have already secured the facilitator. And like I said, staff is here Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday, so it doesn't, I don't have a preference, it doesn't matter. I just would want to make sure that the previous actions that the board has taken, that we're able to change that date. So the board would like me to look into that as an option and then provide feedback back to the board.
I went ahead, I last month and penciled it in on my calendar, and I didn't see any holidays Friday preceding a holiday or something like that. You didn't see that. So I don't think we're going to interfere with getting away for an early.
The Martin Luther King weekend?
Huh?
Martin Luther King weekend?
Yeah, it is. January 8th, but again, we still work on Friday. So, and our board study sessions tend to end about 3 o'clock. And so even if we left at 3, that's like super early, which we would, because our students are still in school. Our school students are here on Friday. So for us, from a staff perspective, we're still here. So whether our meeting is on a Thursday or a Friday, our weekend isn't until after students are dismissed. We'll probably have athletics on that night and so forth. So really, it's the privilege and preference of the board to work here as staff, and that is no problem. My only thing is because we have secured facilitation in advance to make sure there isn't any conflict with that.
Can we ask that person if they'd be available on the Thursday and bring it back? Have a Ducktown board.
Yeah, what were the dates? Or can you email us the dates? Check my calendar.
January 14th and May 20th right now.
May 20th?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ms. Friedman, is that interest to move that to the 13th and the 19th? To move it one day prior?
Mm-hmm.
I can
shorten
it prior again. No preference on this side.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. But Dr. Mitchell, you need to find out.
Sure. If he's available.
Sure. So if I understand the direction, the board is interested in changing the January 14th date to January 13th, the May 20th date to May 19th, and I would like for me to see if facilitation is available by making that one day change. I'll provide an update to the board. And then if we are going to change the dates we've previously taken action on this item, we would bring it back on the agenda to make that change to our calendar.
I just checked and I'm okay.
Okay. That'll give the board some time to look at their calendar as well.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
No problem.
So do we?
It was just discussion, right? We got some. Pardon me?
There's the motion that's been moved on, correct? And so, but the motion for, so the, to review and discuss. So there was an opening to review and discuss. And so, and the direction back to the staff is what I have shared. And so, there's a vote on giving me that direction.
Okay.
So the. We still need to vote. The vote is giving you direction instead of setting anything. Okay. So, do we can vote now, right? We can vote now for the give Dr. Mitchell the direction to the study. Okay. The roll call. Dr. Freeman?
Aye.
Alice Gonzalez?
Aye.
David Malcolm?
Aye.
Eric Monegas?
Aye.
Eric Chen? Aye. The motion carries. Next one is the 7I, the resolution number AS202114, authorizing the permanent transfer between funds. That's the motion and the second. To adopt the resolution as 2021-14.
I'll second.
Mr. Venegas, second. Any questions? Discussion?
This is just routine.
This is This is required for the $1 billion grant that we received for the CTE program, for Nogales technology program, and for the Roland High School auto program. So the grant requires us to have a 50% match. So we are setting aside $1 million as required by the grant, as the state provides $1 million also for this program.
Any more questions? Okay, it's the roll call vote. Don Freeman.
Aye.
Angus Gonzalez.
Aye.
David Malkin.
Aye.
Eric Venegas.
Aye.
Kerry Chen. Aye. Motion carries. Next item, 7J, resolution number SO 2021-16, Mental Health Awareness Month, May 2021. Is the motion? Second.
I make a motion.
I'll second.
David, motion, and Ms. Freeman, second. Any questions?
I just want to thank the board and Dr. Mitchell for putting this on the agenda. I think that with the pandemic, the situation with many of our students has changed greatly over the past year. I feel that we have a primary purpose of educating our students, but we also have a primary purpose of understanding who our students are and what their needs are. If we don't do that, we can't do the education part of it. So it kind of goes hand in hand. So thank you for putting this on the agenda.
Just mental health is very important. A lot of people ignore it, and mental health and physical health are equally important. Mental health is more important. So, this is good.
Yes, I'd just like to comment. Emotional well-being, healthy emotional well-being for your students is part of our support as a board. That's very, I'm glad that this is part of that Mental Health Awareness Month in the month of May. When they go summer vacation, it's resonating.
I just like Mr. Melvin, you bring this up on a regular basis, and I appreciate that you are watching out for the kids. So, and putting it on the table and having us discuss it is important. Thank you.
More questions? Roll call vote. Don Freeman.
Aye.
Angus Gonzalez.
Aye.
David Malkin.
Aye.
Eric Venegas.
Aye.
Kerry Chen. Aye. Motion carries. The next item, 7K, review for policy 5116.1, intra-district opening enrollment. The item is for review only. Education code requires the board to review this policy annually. There were no recommended changes from staff. Any questions? Discussion? Okay, then we'll move to the next item, 7L, review the board policy 6145. Extracurricular activities. This item is also for review only. Education will require the board to review this policy annually. There are no recommended changes from the staff. Any discussion? Then we move to the next item is consent calendar. Need a motion and then a second to approve all of the items in consent except the one as well. With a roll call vote, Don Freeman.
I need a motion. I'll move.
I'll second.
With Venegas second, the roll call vote, Don Freeman.
Aye.
And Agnes Gonzalez.
Aye.
David Malkin.
Aye.
Terry Menegas.
Aye.
Terry Chenard. Motion carries. Okay, then we have one item was put out. Item number 8, 5B. Need a motion.
I'll move.
I'll move. And second.
I'll second.
And the second. Discussion, yes.
The reason I pulled it is I think that, as everyone knows, I've been pushing counselors in elementary school, and it sounds wonderful, but I would like more information, please, on it.
Perfect. Yeah, no problem. We can provide that information. Actually, I would like to see if Miriam Kim is available. This outreach concern has been in our district for, I believe, 2 years. This is our third. Okay. And it is done through our Family Resource Center as a service and an opportunity for our students. So, there's Miriam Kim. Can you answer that question for us?
Yes, good evening. But before I answer that, I just do want to say happy day of the teacher, happy National Nurses School Nurse Day, because I'm not just an employee, but a proud parent too. My kids have and currently attend Roland, so yay for the certificated staff at Roland. So we have been contracting and working with the outreach concern since 2018-2019. They support our elementary K-6 schools 2 days a week. They have supervised counseling interns that come into the school sites, and everything was in person, but then obviously with COVID, we had to pivot. And so all of their services are currently virtual setting. But in the new school year, we're looking to go back to the in-person counseling supports.
Are we having more than 2 days a week?
Yes, we would like to see at least 4 days a week.
That's what the plan is?
Yes.
And what else? Did I read something else about there's outside counseling available too?
So for our students who are at the elementary schools who utilize Outreach Concern, they do provide parent supports, parent workshops, in-teacher training services. They also have a 24-hour crisis hotline that's available only to the schools who contract with them, and that's 365 days a year. So that's a really big asset that all of our families can have access to should they ever need that.
Thank you, Miriam. How wonderful. Sounds terrific.
David?
Can you define counselor? Because there's so many different ways counselors are being defined in education.
Right.
Or what type of counselors?
So these are all counseling interns, and they are supervised by their regional field supervisors. So they check with them all the time. They come in, they actually come visit at the sites. And so if there was anything that would become maybe a really big issue, then that regional field supervisor would step in immediately to assist.
Are these social and emotional counselors then versus the counselors that we have like in high school that are more college preparation counselors?
Correct, because this is for our elementary students.
And I don't know if you were on earlier, Amy Irvin, had a comment about this. I don't know if you heard it, but she felt that having different interns interacting with the students is not as good as having a permanent employee that we would hire interacting. Do you have any concerns about these being interns that change from year to year?
I don't have any concerns. We have been working with interns these past 3 years. We've also been working with interns with who are obtaining their MSWs with their licensed clinical social workers. So, and that's, I know that's a different capacity, but nonetheless interns. And so far, it's been very positive. I haven't had or know of any issues coming from these interns.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Okay,
so ready for a roll call vote. Don Freeman.
Aye.
And Ms. Gonzalez.
Aye.
David Melton.
Aye.
Eric Venegas.
Aye.
Terry Chen. Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Aye. Okay, let's move to conference session. The board will hold a public hearing to receive comments on local control accountability issues for 2021-2022 school year at the regular board meeting on May 27, 2020 at 6 p.m. The proposed LCAP
will be available for public view should members of the public wish to view, to review the prior to the public hearing. If you wish to do so, please contact the Education Service Department at jennifer.baker@studentschools.org. The next item is the Board of Education will hold a public hearing to receive a comment on the proposed 2021-2022 Rural Unified School District fiscal year budget at the regular board meeting on May 27, 2020 at 6 p.m. The proposed budget will be available for public viewing should members of the public wish to review the budget prior to the public hearing. If you wish to do so, please contact the fiscal department and please correct at lowlandschools.org. Information on how to participate in the public hearing will be posted on the website at www.lowlandschools.org no later than 72 hours prior to the meeting. Can we choose the year incorrect?
Which it is for the budget for 21-22. You're correct, it's the board meeting on May 27, 2021.
Yes. Both items have been correct. Year and both are 2021.
Correct. Thank you.
Next board members' comments. So start from Thomas.
Oh, it is so good to know that students were back in person at our school. After the first day of school, a TK student said to his mom, "I can hardly wait to come again." Thank you to everyone for all their hard work for making this possible and your continued hard work for making the interventions for in-person support opening of our school successful. Also, Amy Irvine and I spoke today, and she said that there were anytime there was an issue, it was addressed right away. So I want to thank Alex and the department for getting that great compliment. Congratulations to Nogales High School senior Nestor Mandujano, who was named Edison International Scholar and received a $40,000 scholarship for career in STEM. Congratulations to Giano Intermediate for receiving the National Best Communities Award for Music Education. Only 10 schools in California were given this award. Jennifer Trujillo's hard work is evident. Congratulations to Roland High School for being named 2021 California Distinguished School again. What an honor. Also for winning the grand finale tournament of the City of LA STEM tournament. Also to Roland High School's academic decathlon team for placing 20th out of 78 schools at the academic decathlon state championship. Also for their additive manufacturing team 3D printing for winning silver at the California Skills USA 54 State Leadership and Skill Conference. So many awards, which shows all the hard work paid off by staff and students. Way to go, Roland High School, very impressive. Wonderful presentation by Stellan this evening, and thank you Alex and team again for a wonderful presentation. So many wonderful things happening at Roland. Some of the events that I attended since the last board meeting are the surprise visits to Roland Unified School District's employees of the year. Thank you, Dr. Mitchell and team, for making this possible. What a wonderful thing to do. Congratulations to Ashley McGrath from Roland Elementary, Rodrigo Blanquet from Santana, and Rosanna McLean from District Office. Also, congratulations to all the employees of the year. What a great honor. The Mount Zach board meeting, they introduced all new council members and board members. Everyone had an opportunity to speak. The adult education open house presentations were outstanding. The teacher made a video of what their class was about, and they were all very informative. Great job. The IB solo exhibitions 2021 were great. It was wonderful as Roland High School students explained their art via Zoom. So much great talent. The City of West Covina Council recognized 65 Nogales High School students for achieving a 4.0 this past fall. 7 students came to the meeting to receive their certificate in person, which was very special. Eric Venegas, And Laura Rivas, representing RUSD, thank you for being there and speaking. Great job. Walnut City's 2021 Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, a morning of praise and worship. The best part was the end when Roland High School Orchestra performed. They sounded so fabulous. The textbook review was very informative. These textbooks will be voted on next board meeting, so I will talk about them then. Although I just wanted to say thank you to Jean Ritchie and from Nogales High School and Kathy Stella from Roland High School, as well as Rocky, for taking the time to present these books. In the consent items, we approved many items. I just want to mention the one about, I think we discussed that one already. The consent item was the contract agreement between the outreach concern, and then we talked about the counseling and the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Avid College Readiness System Services. Avid is a great program. Its mission is to close the achievement gap by preparing all students for college ready and success. Avid operates with one guiding principle: hold students accountable to the highest standards, provide academic and social support, and they will rise to the challenge. I am thrilled that we have Avid at Hollingworth, Oswald, Alvarado, Giano, Nogales High School, and Roland High School. Lastly, I'm looking forward to our in-person high school graduation, as well as the adult education drive-through graduation. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. David?
Oh, I'm already. I've rewritten this thing about five times during the meeting because I don't want to be repetitive of what I said or what occurred during the meeting. So I'll try to make it a lot shorter. Congratulations to all the students that were recognized tonight. And a big thank you to principals Mitch Bernion and Carlos Ochoa for creating an environment in their schools that allow these students to excel in these after-school programs. I also want to thank Ms. Bates for the creative virtual art exhibition that Ms. Friedman was talking about. Two featured IB students, Katie and Martin, were terrific. The art that they presented was very interesting. The influence of the pandemic on the art was very interesting. And we had an in-depth discussion afterwards that was very informative for me. The students explained their work and how they used their art to express their emotional feelings about their pandemic experiences. Tonight we passed the resolution for mental health, additional resources for mental health services, such as consent item 8B5, the contract between Roland Unified School District and the Outreach Concern Incorporated. More than ever, emotional social supports are needed in our schools. This was very evident in the IB art presentation. And then the other day I participated in the CTE exit interviews. And in the exit interviews, one student expressed her feelings about her grade going down during the past year and how she disappointed her family as well as herself. And another student wasn't able to attend because that morning their family was being evicted. And she was emotionally too upset to talk to a panel about her CTE experience. So it just shows you how it's hitting our students in many different ways. This is also Teacher Appreciation Month. What better time to celebrate teacher appreciation than the return of students and teachers to the classroom? I'd like to share a note on social media that one of our parents posted. My daughter said and she's referring to her teacher. My daughter says that you are the best teacher she ever had, and she's so happy she finally got to meet you in person and her little rascal schoolmates. Next school year will be more exciting. Can't wait. Happy Teachers Appreciation Week to all these amazing teachers. One of many notes that were posted. There was one note that was really cute from Roland Elementary, from Ashley McGrath's students. And actually, she was featured on Channel 4 News last night. And this one student says, I can't wait till the pandemic's over because I want to hug my teacher. So cute. I must also extend a big appreciation to our classified employees who created a safe environment for our teachers and students to enable them to return to the classroom. Many of them worked long hours during this past year, and as well as the nutritional services, who provided meals to our students the past year. And like everybody else recognized, the school nurses that were recognized also this past week. Congratulations to John A. Rowland High School for being named California Distinguished School Award again. Along with extensive reviews and presentations, the students are an important part of that process. So congratulations to the students as well, again, to the administration of Rowland High. And then, as I mentioned, I participated in the next interviews of the CTE program. That is one excellent program. If you want to see students that might not continue on to college, that will be looking for a job, this program really presents them, helps them to develop their resume, how to interview, what to say during an interview. We as judges then critique them on what they're saying. And some are just excellent presenters and answer the questions very well. And one of the questions I asked one of them was, what was your biggest accomplishment in CTE? And what was your biggest failure? And what did you learn from that failure? And I tell you, they were so good at answering that question. It was just great. They took their failure and turned it around and made it a positive, how they improved as a result of it. And it was just great watching them. And finally, I also attended the Walnut Mayor's Prayer Breakfast of the Day of Prayer. It was really a nice event. It was actually nicer virtually than it is in person. It was inclusive. It had all the different religions there. And that was really made it meaningful. But despite all the different religions that were present, they all had a core message that they're giving out. And that is that we need to be a more compassionate world and kind to each other. And they all mentioned that indirectly or directly, regardless of their faith. And I was thinking, God, if we just all would practice that, what a better world we would have. So that's it for me.
Thank you. Agnes?
Good evening. I also attended the National Day of Prayer with the City of Walnut Council, and I really appreciated and want to congratulate Jonathan Chen for a beautiful rendition of our Rowland High School Orchestra. I was really touched. And of course, all the different religion in there who had given the same piggybacking on Mr. Malkin's, that we do need to be compassionate and to be kind. And that is the world we're living now with the normalcy that we have. And on that note, when I walk, because I close to Nogales High School, and I saw the school bus, I thought to myself, wow, we're getting back to normal. And it just melts my heart because I know that the students will be back sooner than later. And having the kids there at the school bus and knowing that they're gonna learn in person, they're gonna be able to meet their friends, their teachers, and with the consent of the parents who let them go to school, for the support, it just melts my heart. And I know we are moving forward. It is a good motion to see that in our daily lives in this time. I'd like to congratulate Rowland High School. Of course, my gosh, you have three recognition tonight. Esports team academically, Decathlon 3D printing. Mr. Brunier, you have outdone yourself as well with your students and staff. Being a California Distinguished School, that is really something in my book. Giano Intermediate School, recognizing you as 10 schools in America and only 80 in the US to be recognized and have this award. And also I would like to thank the City of West Covina for recognizing the students at Nogales High School. with the rate of 4.0. I had the pleasure to meet with them on not an official business, but ribbon cutting ceremony at the restaurant. And I was able to meet all the dignitaries of the city of Escobedo, and they're saying hello to you, Mr. Villegas. But just the relationship of the community around us makes me proud to be part of the Roland Unified School District, because they really think very highly of us, not just the board, but the administration, the cabinet, the teachers, of course the teachers, teacher recognition. This month is very important for education. We have teachers to thank, nurses to thank, classified employees to thank. My goodness, this education. We are in this business because we mean well for the students that we serve, for the community that we serve, and for the parents who know that we take care of their students when they're in school, when they're in our care. And I just would like to thank just the, my eyes just want to cry, because when I walk, when I saw and driving by Nogales High School and some of the schools, they're crossing the street and the students are just smiling and they're having fun, laughing, sharing stories with their friends. I think we're getting there. We're gonna get back to normal. And thank you for this board that we have for doing that portion of opening in support on April 26th. And I'm glad to be part of that. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you, Angus. Mr.
Thank you. As you know, I always want to acknowledge our student presenters tonight. So Justice Helen and Nicholas Michelle, and you, I believe you were sixth grade. What an amazing, coming into the board, doing it live, real time. That's quite a feat. I appreciate you all. Daniel, Joseph, and Mel, your high school updates are always appreciated. Anna, I look forward to hearing your updates next year. One of the things I am grateful I didn't have to follow Ms. Friedman on her visits. She always has a list of visits, so I'm glad I didn't go right after you. So I do want to highlight some of the visits I had since our last board meeting. I attended Career Day, and I presented to fourth graders and sixth graders on my STEM career. And it reminded me of when I was that age and presenting, and someone presenting to me and getting me excited about going to the STEM career. So that's a great program, getting kids excited long-term on various careers, not just STEM. I did attend the IB art show. What passion these students had, and amazing work. I've worked with professional creatives most of my career, and it was par right on there. And they did an amazing job. I also shared with the seniors that were there. I have a hard time drawing stick figures, so I do appreciate art. They do a great job. I attended the adult education open house and the wonderful people there and the presentations. It was fabulous. Also the Roland Choir competition, where they did very well, both in the group competition, and there was a solo in there. And then getting back to a sense of normalcy, of being at the West Covina City Council and standing there with the kids getting recognized, the Nogales High School kids that had a 7th, 9th, and 10th graders that received a 4.0, being in person was really, really nice. And it gets that sense of normalcy. I live by Nogales as well, so. Seeing the school bus there and the kids, the fields are being used, there's kids out there practicing, seeing the parents or spectators along the Nogales that can't be in there, but they're going to be standing on the side on the street looking in. We're getting closer. And so with that, I'm really excited that we're moving forward. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Benegas.
Mr. May, I'd like to thank all the nurses, especially for the past 2 years, COVID-19 pandemic, they are heroes. We rely on the nurses to save our life. Everyone is shot, nurse people are shot. So we will thank you for the nurses, school nurses, and everyone working in this field. And teachers are heroes too. The month of May is Teacher Appreciation Week, or May 4th. Teacher Appreciation Day. Every time I think about during my life journey, I think about the teacher who inspired me and taught me and
appreciate. And we see the teachers and the school district teaching the kids, they are creating so many next generation leaders, next generation human beings. So we so much appreciate so much. So the one to make is very, very significant to me. And tonight we recognize the achievement of piano intermediate school and the music award NAM. And I googled NAM because I think this is the first time we had that award. NAM is a big organization, associations of National Association of Music Merchants. And the NAM had so many different activities in the music industry, and there's NAM Foundation, which has done a lot of work to inspire kids in music. This is one of them. So I'm very happy Yano win the award, and that's very excited. So I like to see the kid doing that and promoting the music. A few days ago, we have a book review for the food culinary art. And one of the books they presented is the Food of the World. And during at the end of the review, I mentioned I appreciate the food, the different part of the world, and it all related. And I realized food is the is a tool to connecting the people in the world, because we found the food in Asia that originated from Europe. It's a long time, 1,000 years. And they find the food in the European people is taking originally from Asia, from the Middle East. So when you talk about food, there's no enemies. Everybody eats. Music is the same thing. Music brings connecting people together. And I enjoy the Silk Road example by Yo-Yo Ma. And his idea is telling the people, the music is universal. And if you like music, and there won't be no walls, because music is connecting everybody. So it's so important. So that gives us an idea of these kind of things is nice. And then we need to teach the kids music, so we can have music for all. So that's good. And Roland High School had the eSport Award, the team, the award, the city of STEM. And that's also a very, that's the largest celebration of science, technology, engineering, and math. So that, is the first time we won that. So this is very, very, very good. And another academic decathlon team, and we did great on that. And the Northern High School is the star tonight. The three awards plus the California Distinguished School for the next 2 years. So congratulations to Giano and Roland High School. And we approved the resolution for mental health. That reminds me, we just received a piece of information I'd like to share with everybody. As I'm the board representing the board to receive information from CalSSD, and I'd like to share a very, very ambitious plan by Governor Newsom announced yesterday. We got this from CalSSD, so I have to share with the board. On May 12, yesterday, the Governor Newsom announced the major investment on the public schools. They are at $20 billion investment to the next few years. There for the next 5 years. The number one is create a universal TK by 2024. The $2.7 billion to create a TK as a grade level, to be a grade level from 2024 from K to TK, to everybody. And the number two is a community school. You're creating service-based community school that expanded for the January proposal of $265 billion grant for community schools. And the number three is wellness and mental health, brain health, and the mental health get serious about the issue. Mental health, brain health for $4 billion for screening real treatment from birth to age 25. Most transformational commitment, universal screening, and access to health care. So that's a very, very ambitious for health, for mental health. $4 billion, a lot of money. And the fourth item is before and after school and summer program. It will spend $1 billion for this year in total commitment, $5 billion for after school and before and after school and summer program for all the kids. And number five, that the will allocate $3.3 billion for teacher recruitment, training, invest in underserved area and the teachers. And number six is $1.1 billion to improve staff to student ratio at schools serving highest concentration of vulnerable students. Very, very ambitious. And $2.6 billion commitment to accelerate learning and high dosage tutoring. And the eighth item is child saving account. You're gonna put everybody at $500 for using the general fund dollar for 3.7 million child savings account for low income children, $2 million to create these accounts, an opportunity for the families for their children to have college or trade schools. So this is very interesting plan, but this is just for sharing with the board and they will be discussed and revised. So I like to keep track of how it's going. So at least it's a very good research proposal. Glad to see that and work. Thank you very much. And that's all my reports. Then we need to move to closed session. We're not finished on closed session business. So before we join the meeting. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. So we're going to adjourn to closed session.
Take 5 minute break.
Adjourning to closed session at?
Adjourning closed session 8:25.
Perfect. Thank you. Sorry. Oh my goodness.
We come into open session 9:44. Any closing report?
Nothing to report out.
So let's move to next item, adjournment. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting.
I'll move. I'll second.
Make a second. Okay, roll call votes. Don Freeman.
Aye.
Agnes Gonzalez.
Aye.
David Melton.
Aye.
Harry Venegas.
Aye.
Jenny Chen. Aye. Motion carries. Meeting adjourned at 9:44. Thank you very much.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.